Reading from the Art of Chanting Hare Krishna, we're discussing 10 offenses. And we have the 10 offenses, so then I thought, well, the best way to deal with the 10 offenses is to be humble. So there's offenses which are negative, which are bad, which we have to avoid and be careful about. But rather than worrying about the negativity of offenses, of course we have to be conscientious and concerned about it. But I'm introducing here the 10 defenses. Rather than thinking always about the 10 offenses and always being jittery about it and nervous about it. I don't want to make the first offense. I don't make the second offense. I don't make the third offense. Better, I was suggesting a positive program to introduce the 10 defenses, which are related to the 10 offenses, but it's positive things we can do in relation to the Vaishnavas, in relation to the Shastra, in relation to the Guru, in relation to others. So in this way, we're working in a positive way rather than a negative way. So these four qualities that are mentioned in Shikshastakam by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these are the primary devotional qualities of an aspiring Vaishnava, and a perfected Vaishnava has them in full measure. And if these four qualities, if we try our best to develop these four qualities, then the other beautiful qualities of a pure devotee will all manifest, because these are the basis of all the others. So Mahaprabhu is telling us that we should cultivate four qualities. What are the four qualities Lord Chaitanya asks every devotee to have? And then people said so many things. Humility, tolerance,
prayerlessness,
and honor others. Yes, thank you. So Mahabharata said, these four qualities, honoring others, and pridelessness, and tolerance, and being humble, or humility. These four qualities are presented in the Shikshastakam. In which verse? Which verse? Trinadapi Sunichena, Tadori Vasahishuna. Manina manidena kirtane sadari. So these are the four qualities. We should be the perfection of all these qualities. There shouldn't be no one more humble than a Gaudiya Vaishnava. There should be no one more tolerant than a Gaudiya Vaishnava. There should be no one more respectful to others than a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Respectful to mother, father, seniors, elders, Brahmins, cows, devotees, Vaishnavas, sadhus, temples, devas, devis. No one is more respectful than a Gaudiya Vaishnava, because no one has higher knowledge or more perfect knowledge than a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Because the knowledge that's presented in the scriptures of the Gaudiyas, it's called Gaudiya Tattva, Gaudiya Siddhanta, is the topmost expression of spiritual knowledge. And we can understand the position and relationship of everything and everyone in the world. The position and relationship of everyone and everything in this world, from the ant to the demigods. What is their sambandha with Krishna? And we can act accordingly. So therefore we have, because of the knowledge, the gyan, and sambandha tattva, we behave properly. Behavior is a byproduct of awareness or knowledge. There are mores of society or codes of behavior. There are codes, what we call moral codes or codes of behavior. So they must be learned. They are usually passed down through oral tradition from the mother and father to the children. But in this Vaishnava line, Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we learn the science of bhakti and the science of Krishna consciousness, and then we, understanding that science, then we know how to behave with everyone. Because we have perfect knowledge, then we have perfect behavior. And being perfectly behaved, we show the greatest degree of these qualities. So we're prideless. So pridelessness is also a byproduct of knowledge. If one is ignorant, he's very proud. They say the pauper is proud of his penny. Pauper means a poor person, daridra. So even if such a person has nothing, but he has 1 rupee, he becomes proud. Oh, I have 1 rupee. How many rupees do you have? You don't have? Oh, I have one. Huh. I have 1 rupee. So this pride is all pervasive, especially in the presence of ignorance. The greater the ignorance, the greater the pride. You see, even in materially intelligent people, truly intelligent, let's say wise people, they also display this quality of humility. One of the most famous intelligent people of the 20th century was known as Alfred Einstein. And he was a mathematician and a physicist. And he wrote many things and propounded many theories about energy and mass and time, and many of his ideas are still being studied today after 50 years, 60 years. He was considered to be a genius, scientific genius. And he's also attributed to be one of the creator, authors of the, what do you say? He played a part in the production of atomic energy, or the discovery of atomic energy. Another German scientist, Furlenheimer and Einstein. So Einstein once was asked about his knowledge, his intuition, his genius. He said, actually, what do I know? He who has created this world is so infinitely learned and so infinitely wise. I've simply walked along the beach of knowledge that God has given and picked up a few grains of sand. So if you go to the beach next to an ocean, there are so many millions and millions of grains or pieces of sand, billions. So this was his humility. He was God conscious in his own way. There is someone beyond me. There is someone supreme, a supreme person, a supreme force. So even he was somewhat prideless. And people that knew him said he was like that. He was a very humble person. So devotees, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, should be the most prideless. And pride really means something when you have something. If you don't have anything, then even then, as we said, the poor person, he has nothing but a rupee, but he becomes proud because this pride is part of the conditioning of the conditioned soul. It's part of the ignorance. That even the one who has nothing is proud. But if it's especially applicable to Gaudiyas if they actually have something. If someone is endowed by birth with beauty, physical beauty, or material wealth, assets, or knowledge, learning, education, or power, physical strength, power, or he's a tyagi or renunciate. He has some kind of opulence, some bhagya, or vibhuti, some power. Then the nature is to become proud. I am Miss India, or Mr. Universe. And we become proud. Again, we're respected everywhere, and everyone takes our picture wherever we go. And so, but when devotees actually have something, when they've attained something, then Krishna really watches. Because when you join Krishna consciousness, basically you have nothing too much in our hand. But after some time, we may actually acquire some assets, borrowed plumes. Plume is peacock, or feather of a bird. So we become learned, we become famous, we become expert in various aspects of Krishna consciousness, speaking or cooking or managing or preaching or distributing books or giving lectures or writing or teaching. And these are all assets given to us by Guru and Krishna. And sometimes we become proud, or we become proud of position. We become temple president or temple commander, or oh, you're in charge of Prabhupada's house. Oh, yes, I'm in charge of Prabhupada's house. on the house IC, house in charge. Oh, this is your ashram. This is your place. No, I'm a Saivite here. I'm a servant here. This is Giriraj's place. So in so many ways, this pride creeps in and takes over. Oh, you're a Gurukul teacher. Oh, aren't you one of the senior teachers in Gurukul? I think you've been there a few years. Yes, I'm making 8,000 rupees a month. Oh, I just joined. I'm only making 4,000. I'm an ashram teacher. Ah, you're small time, you know. After some time, you may become big like me. And like this, we think we're very big by whatever little insignificant thing we have. So then we're supposed to be prideless. And this is the hardest one. Practically, this is the hardest one for anyone, anywhere, and especially among devotees, to respect others. To really show regard or respect to others. And you can't really respect others until you develop love for Krishna. In some degree. Some type of love. Because one of the aspects of love is appreciation of others. And Prabhupada mentions that in several tapes. Because the devotees were discussing with him. And he said, Prabhupada, I like Krishna, I like you. But I don't really care so much for the devotees. And Prabhupada's response to that, he said, if you don't have any appreciation for the devotees, then that means you don't have any appreciation for Krishna either. You're saying, yes, I love Krishna, yes, I like Krishna, yes, I'm attracted to Krishna. But actually, this is all lip service. There's nothing really substantial behind that. It's simply your statements, your projection of what you would like to be. If you love me, love my dog, they say. Love my dog. So the Vaishnavas, there. So this is you actually see in your own progress in devotion that as you progress in genuine Krishna bhakti, you really start to appreciate the devotees. You really start to admire the devotees. And then with that appreciation, that admiration, then you respect them. And they're all trying in their own way to serve Krishna to the best of their ability, although it may not be perfect, nor is my effort also perfect. But there's appreciation, and then this envy starts to evaporate, and the fault-finding tendency towards others starts to evaporate. And one starts to exhibit the genuine broad-heartedness and broad-mindedness and soft-heartedness of a devotee. He actually starts to understand what is a bhakta, what is devotee. It happens with everyone who seriously practices devotion. And after a while, he begins to really love the devotees and really feels, oh, Krishnadas, I'm so happy to see you. And genuine feelings can't be faked. You can't fake. If a wife falls in love with another man, and then she tries to fake it with her husband, oh, I love you. He'll say, wait a minute. Something's different. You're saying how you love me and this and that and everything's going on the same, but I think there's some division in your heart. The same way, Krishna, I'm happy to see you. I wish you would drop dead. Oh, I'm happy to see you. I hope you fall off a cliff. So you can't fake it. Real love and real feelings they're perceived also. When the real thing comes out, then it's perceived. If someone is really non-envious, you can understand. And if they're envious, you can also understand. So these are four things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if we cultivate these four qualities, humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others, we will be protected from committing the 10 offenses. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Siddhanta Saraswati says that this verse teaches how to chant without offenses by mentioning the four qualities necessary for non-stop chanting. In other words, by possessing these four devotional traits, It will be much easier for one to always chant the holy name. The Shastras prescribe constant chanting as a way to remove all offenses. The command to avoid the 10 offenses includes, in other words, like when we say don't do this, what also includes do this. If we say don't eat boga, right? That's a don't. But when we're saying don't, it also includes do eat Krishna prasad. Right? It's like this. So the command to avoid the 10 offenses includes the idea of cultivating positive qualities and realizations to protect one from committing offenses again. Hainam Chintamani recommends 10 actions. Actually, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he recommends 10 actions to counteract the offenses. So he didn't call them that, but I thought he called them the 10 defenses. And we have the 10 offenses, and we want to forget about those and avoid those. But then there's the 10 defenses, and we want to embrace those. So he just says these are 10 actions, remedial measures, he says, to protect or defend one. In other words, if we implement these 10 defenses, these actions, these ideas, these actions will protect or defend us from the tendency to make offenses to the holy name. A serious devotee will try to incorporate these actions in his everyday life in order to quickly rise to the stage of Shuddhanam or pure chanting. So these defenses are what we call antidote or vaccination, preventative measures. Maybe you remember when you're a young person, then you go to the doctor, they give you some shot in your arm. It's called vaccination. You know, vaccination. Vaccination for smallpox or measles or cholera or these type of things. What they do is actually, that vaccination means they're giving you a little bit of that disease, a little bit of that poison, and then your body responds by making antibodies, by making some defenses, and then you become, later on, if you meet that disease head on or full on, then you have power to defeat it and not become infected by it. So these defenses are like vaccinations. These are preventative measures. These are antidotes to offenses. So if we take, there's 10 shots. If we take these 10 shots in our arm, then we won't make the 10 offenses the holy name. Right? As for different disease, you get a shot, you get a vaccination for polio, one for measles, one for cholera, smallpox, etc. One shot, two shots, rabies, all different types of shots we get. So now these are 10 vaccinations. These are heavy shots, 10 shots. And they're not given in the arm, they're given in the heart. That's the problem. So we have to accent these and emphasize these positive qualities, and that automatically eliminate the negative activities. The point that we wrote here in our notes, if we're always emphasizing positive activities, automatically there's no time to commit negative activities. Right? Prabhupada used to say, we should be so busy in Krishna's service, we have no time for Maya. Maya comes and says, oh, excuse me, can you help me? I need your help over here. Can you fool around with me? So really, I don't mind fooling around with you, but I'm a little busy right now in doing my seva. So if you can just wait. Okay, and then she comes later and says, oh, listen, can you play with me? I have some good things to do. No, I'm busy now. Because that's the same thing that Haridas Thakur told Maya Devi when she came. And she wanted to play around. He said, okay, I don't mind, but let me finish my japa. You sit here. So then he converted Maya. She heard the holy name and she became a devotee. And so this is the point, that if we're so busy doing good things, then we don't have time to do bad things. As they say in English, you must have heard the expression, an idle mind? The devil's workshop. So the devil's dukkan. Diablo's dukkan, his shop. If we don't engage the mind in Krishna's service, then the devil or Maya, he'll come or she'll come and do a good job of it. So the first defense is to serve the Vaishnavas. Because first offense is sadananda. So serve them, don't criticize them. A devotee should always think of himself as a fallen wretch. Means a bad guy. Therefore, he never envies nor blasphemes anyone. Because he thinks that everyone's better than me. I'm so bad, I'm so fallen, I'm so low. How can I see that anyone else isn't worse than me? Rather, he serves all living entities and helps them back to Godhead. We should never say, okay, now the second one is defense. Because the second offense, what's the second offense?
To consider the demigods like the Brahma to be equal to independent.
Yes. Well, this is defense to that. To worship Krishna with Radhika as the beautiful absolute, the sweet enjoyer, and the merrymaker of Braj. A devotee never separately worships the demigods because he is fully cognizant or aware that all living entities, including the demigods, are eternal servants of Krishna and dependent upon him. So the demigods are simply servants. And the third one, of course, is the disobey the elders, the spiritual master. So the defense is, one should show full respect to the spiritual master who initiates him into the holy name. A devotee will not violate the orders of his guru because he realizes that Krishna cannot be attained without Guru Kripa. 4. Lasting Vedic literature. This is the defense. One should sincerely praise the scriptures revealing the glories of the holy name. Spiritual reality can only be seen through the eyes of Shastra. Understanding this, a devotee honors, studies, worships, and distributes the sacred teachings. So honoring the scriptures means to follow them. We study them, we worship them, we distribute them, and we follow them in our lives. And that way we don't make Shastra Ninda. Fifth one is to consider to minimize the glories in the holy name. The fifth defense is to completely be convinced that the holy name is eternally situated on the transcendental platform. Nam Chintamani, Purnashura Niti Mukto. A devotee practically experiences the inconceivable potency of the holy name. Consequently, he never considers his glories to be exaggeration. In other words, we hear so many wonderful glories of the holy name from the Shastra, and although we may not at this present stage experience those fruits of chanting, because some of the fruits are being described as are at the level of Shudanam or Namavas, But we shouldn't think, well, these are exaggeration. They're fantastic things, fantastic reactions or benefits or benedictions or fruits that come from such pure chanting. And I have yet to experience or relish or witness or these results. But I have, at my level, whatever my level is of chanting, I have seen at my own level so many wonderful results. How this holy name has transformed me, how this holy name has uplifted me, how this holy name has improved me, what I am now and what I was before. Like they have pictures sometimes in these clubs where people try to lose weight. And they show, here's Mrs. Smith before she joined Weight Watchers. And she's like a blimp. You know, she weighs like 150 kilos or something. And they show a picture in the newspaper before, and it's always bad lighting and everything, and so it's all dark, and she looks like some monster. And they say, Mrs. Snay, so after our Weight Watchers course, now she's 40 kilos, and she's in a really bright shot and bright, nice photography, and she's like, wow, you know, so Miss Universe. So then everyone says, oh, she really improved. That weight watching course was very successful. She lost a lot of weight and became beautiful. So we have to think, what were we before? But of course, Maya is very tricky. Because Maya, one of Maya's actions is forgetfulness. She covers us with forgetfulness. Oh, I'm great now, and I was always great. I didn't have anything, and I've always been great like this. I've always been peaceful and realized and tolerant and all these good qualities, and doesn't really have anything to do with the holy name. In fact, I don't even chant anymore. I just do my thing. because now I'm great. It's like if you do yoga and you become accomplished in yoga, then you don't need to do yoga anymore. Although after some time you'll get stiff again and you can't do what you could do. But the devotee, he's always remembering that so many promotions I've attained from chanting Hare Krishna, and so many good results I've attained personally, I've seen and witnessed in my life from chanting Hare Krishna. So if all these things have happened at this juncture of my devotion, then all these future promises and grandiose benefits that are mentioned in the Shastra, they must be also possible for me if I improve the quality of my chanting and improve the purity and sincerity of my motive and my actions, my chanting, then all these great benefits will also come my way. I have that belief and I have that confidence and faith. And so therefore I continue embracing the holy name and chanting with renewed enthusiasm and steadiness and appreciation. So this is the defense to minimizing the glories, to be convinced that these glories are not exaggeration. I've seen. And that's the basis of our preaching. Kali Kaleta Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. That this Sankirtan, Pravartan, it's poetic. To Pravartan means to establish, to broadcast, to spread, to teach, to give. In this Kali Yuga, Kali Kaleta Dharma, the Dharma for Kali Yuga is Nam Sankirtan. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nusteva, 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 Gatiranyata. But Krishna Shakti Vini, if one doesn't have power, he can't do anything. You can't do anything without power. If you're powerless, you can't do anything. So the power, this power of the holy, this power to preach comes from our realization about the glories of the holy name. We've experienced in our own lives what the holy name has done for us. So we understand, oh, this holy name is not exaggerated. It's real. It really works. It really happened. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. You may say, oh, it's very tasty pudding, very tasty kheer. I made it very nicely. I offered it to Krishna. Okay, you say all that. Well, give me some. Let me try. Then you taste it. And you say, oh, really? It's marvelous. It's wonderful. Unbeatable. I never had such wonderful kheer. So then you can go and preach the glories of that kheer. Oh, she made such great kheer. It's wonderful. You should get her to make it for you. Or like this. Or did you ever have Krishna Balaram Mahaburfi from the Mangalartik? Then you can go and tell the glories to others. Oh, did you ever have? No. Oh, you try. I saved some for you. Oh, it's marvelous. It's wonderful. Unforgettable. So therefore, we have our own experience of chanting the holy name. And on the basis of that, that gives us the power to preach. Because we only can preach on the basis of realization. The Krishna Shakti, the power to preach, the Krishna Shakti, Krishna power, is our realizations about Krishna consciousness. That's what we use for that's our power to preach. And then we approach people that are inquiring, that are interested and curious. What is this holy name? I've seen it, I read about it. How does it work? Can you tell me? Oh, it's really wonderful. You know, I was like this, and I started chanting one round a day, and this happened, and that happened. And then you tell, oh, really, this happened to you? Yes, it really happened. Oh, let me try. So if nothing has happened to you, and if you haven't changed or haven't improved, then you're in the wrong line. You better go somewhere else. So if anything has happened, then what has ever happened, that's the basis of your preaching, your realization. So then we shouldn't be knowing all this and having all this experience, and there shouldn't be any room for us to make this offense of considering the glories of the holy name to be imagination. The sixth offense is to give some mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. And the defense is that one should fully believe in the explanations of the holy name given by saints and scriptures. A devotee does not interpret the holy name because he's well versed in Nam Tattva. Seventh offense, commit sinful acts on the strength of the holy name. The defense is to root out the desire to commit sins. We should root out means take out the root of the desire to commit sins. A devotee never considers sinning on the strength of chanting because he has renounced his identification with the physical body and the desire for material happiness. At least he's trying to. Eighth offense, to think that chanting the holy name is a fruit of activity or karmakanda. This is the defense. One should give up ritualistic pious activities. In other words, stop it. Because the proof that you're not attached to or have belief in demigod worship and puja and all these things that is that you stop it. So no, I don't believe, I have full faith in Krishna's holy name. I believe everything. I have full conviction I can attain everything by worshiping Krishna, material, spiritual, whatever I need. I don't need it. But still I fast every Monday. I still keep my Monday fast from my childhood. This is my habit. Oh, why? Oh, because, you know, Shiva is so kind to me. He brought me to Krishna and he got me a nice husband. And so I don't want to be ungrateful to Shiva. So I maintain my Monday fast. And wherever I am in the world, I always go to visit the Shiva temple on Monday. So that means that I'm not exactly fulfilling this command here to give up ritualistic pious activities. And you haven't really realized that serving the transcendental name of Krishna is only business. That's our only business. The time it takes to get in the car and drive to the Shiva temple and do puja, you could have chanted 10 rounds of japa. So that would be more pleasing. What's Shiva himself doing? He's chanting japa. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So if you're chanting japa, oh, you're chanting, I'm also chanting. That's nice. You'll be attracted. But Shiva's not going to the Shiva temple to visit Shiva, because he is Shiva. So he won't be much concerned. He won't be so attracted. Oh, another guy going to Shiva temple. Doesn't he understand that Shankarshan, Ananta Shesh, Balaram, Krishna, he's supreme. He should chant his name. Why is he going to Shiva temple? Stupid guy. Obviously, he hasn't received my mercy. He hasn't really understood my intention. Because if you really receive the mercy of Lord Shiva, then you'll be absorbed in Radha Seva and Krishna Seva. So we should give it up. Stop. Bandhogya. No more. Then that proves. What does that prove? That you have faith in Krishna? We have faith in Krishna, but I also have faith in Shiva and Durga and Jai Mata Di. They say in Punjab, Jai Mata Di. Instead of G, they say Di. Jai Mata Di. And Vaishnavi? Oh no, yes, I am initiated, I am a Brahmin, but you know, every year I have to make my pilgrimage to Vaishnav Devi. I must go to Vaishnav Devi. Because you know, I got this, before I was a devotee, I was worshipping her, she gave me this big bungalow, and this, my business is flourishing, and Jai Matadi, Jai Vaishnavi. So like this. So then they're Nam. So now they're nowhere because they're not getting Shuddha Bhakti, they're not getting Shuddha Nam, they're not with Vaishnavi. They're like in the middle of 1 foot in one boat and 1 foot in another boat, so they don't go anywhere. You have to commit yourself. A servant of all is a servant of none. Who's your master? Oh, everybody. Acha, well, you, I don't want to hire you. If somebody comes to your door and says, I want to be your servant, Acha. Do you have any other masters? Oh, yes, everybody in this town is my master. Well, it might be hard for me to get any service out of you because you have so many masters. When I call you, say, oh, no, I'll be right back. I have to serve the guy across the street. And I have to serve the guy on the other across, down the road. Well, if he comes and I say, yes, you want to be my servant? Yes. Do you have any other masters? No. Do you want any other masters? No. Did you have any other masters? I did, but I've left them. I don't care. I am just looking for one master that I can deposit all my faith and energy and life, everything. Prana and dana, and my mata, my pita, everything I want to put here. I want to find that master that will be my father, my mother, my well-wisher. My one master, my one nath, Eknath. So I'm ready to dedicate everything I have for your service. And what will the person master say? Well, come on in. Welcome. Sit down. Here's the servant's quarters here. Here's your bathroom. And I'll pay you this much every month. Now, take out your pencil and paper. This is your schedule. And then you give them 100 different services to do every day. And then he's there. It's you and him. There's nobody else. You're the master. He's a servant. Forever. This is pure bhakti. But, oh, Krishna's my master. And Shiva's my master. And Eventually, after doing that for this life and next life, we have to come to the point, oh, wait a minute. Actually, Gopal Nath, Srinath Ji, Ki Jai. I don't need anyone else but Srinath. So think that chanting Hare Krishna is one of the fruitive activities or karmic activities. Once you give up ritualistic pious activities, this is defense. The devotee fully realizes that serving the transcendental name of Krishna is his only business. Ninth defense, to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. What's the defense? One should only preach the glories of the holy name to the faithful. That's easy to figure out. A sensitive devotee will never cast pearls before a swine. Number 10. Tenth offense is to not have complete faith in chanting the holy name and maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. The tenth defense is this. One should chant attentively with full surrender unto the holy name. A sincere devotee has full faith in the holy name. He always tries to improve his chanting by pulling out the weeds of illicit desires. The determined sadhak enthusiastically moves on the path of devotion by surrendering moment to moment to the Lord of Attraction. So, these are the 10 defenses. It's pretty patent. There's nothing really extraordinary about this. Now we'll go on to anarthas. That was aparats, now anarthas. The word anart. Anart means art, like we say, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Art means something we desire, wealth, position, art. And anart means against the art. So anart means worthless, useless, has no use. Nonsense, meaningless, and without value. So when we apply this word, anartha, in relation to devotional service, the word anartha refers to unwanted, useless, nonsense, material desires in the heart that impede one's advancement or prevent or slow one's advancement in bhakti. Hayanam Chintamani describes four types of anarthas: useless, nonsense, material desires, and attachments that shackle the living entity to the illusory energy. All anarthas can be eliminated. How? By taking shelter of a bona fide guru and learning from him how to properly execute devotional service and chant the holy name. And there's in Harinam Chintamani, and also in Madhurya Kadambini, these anarthas are listed. It's quite a good collection here. There's four categories and then four subdivisions. So 16 anarthas. And some are subtle, some are in the mind, some are in actions, some are in our feelings, our desires. So these are four defects of the heart. Hridaya Durbalya means this weakness of the heart, no bal, weak-heartedness. So one type of weak-heartedness is to have attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna. Another type of weakness of heart is the propensity to cheat and find faults. Another weakness of the heart, or defect, it means defect of heart. It means you have to fix your valves. You have to go to get an operation on the heart. Another defect, the third one, is envy. And another weakness of the heart is the desire for recognition, pratishta. This is one category of anarthas, the internal anarthas, the heart, the position of the heart is in bad shape. cheating, finding faults, envy, desire for position, attachment to things beyond Krishna, then these are called also anarthas. Aparadas are actually also called anarthas. And there's four types of aparad. What are those four types? What are those four types? Four categories. One is nam-aparad. One is seva-aparad. One is vaishnava-aparad, and the other is jiva-aparad. Of course, dham-aparad is also there, but that comes under seva-aparad. These four broad categories of aparad, nam-aparad, 10 offenses to the holy name, seva-aparad, 32 offenses to avoid in deity worship, vaishnava-aparad, those are described elsewhere, there's six of them. And then the fourth type of aparad is jiva-aparad, a very interesting one. Offenses against any living entity, including ants, flies, and dogs. So, bhakta fly, bhakta mucky, bhakta machar, bhakta kuta, bhakta chanti. Chinti? Chinti? C-H-I, chinti? Ant. Chinti, yeah, that's why I make a joke sometimes. I say, what do you call it? What do you call an Indian? What do you call an Indian ant that chants Hare Krishna? You call him a chanti. Because the Indian Hindi word is chinti. But if a chinti chants Hare Krishna, it becomes a chanti. Anyway, it's a silly joke. Life has to have some lighter side once in a while. Is the heaviness of our general activities are pretty heavy sometimes. So the third type of anartha is to be thirsty. So in this season, we're full of this anartha. Everyone's feeling very thirsty. And it's called Trishna. But we should have Trishna for Krishna. Sometimes it might sound funny from Krishna's viewpoint. Because when people are inattentive and chanting, they may be saying, instead of Krishna, they may be saying Trishna. Hare Trishna, Hare Trishna, 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 Hare Hare. So that means take away the water, take away the water, take away the water. Because Hare means to take away or to steal. And Trishna means to drink or water or thirst. So Krishna says, hey, listen, Radharani, listen to this guy's chanting. He's saying Hare Trishna, Hare Trishna, Trishna, Trishna. He's saying, take away my thirst. And he's becoming so thirsty. So it's quite proper to have Trishna for Krishna. But unfortunately, the problem is that we have Trishna for Maya. We have thirst for Maya. And the term, technical term is Asat Trishna. Taste for the temporary, the impermanent. Thirst for material objects. And these are the four. The first is desire for pleasurable sense objects. So you can see that these anarthas, they're going, on one level they're subtle, they're in the heart, in the chitta. And another level they're action, they're kriya. The second level, the aparads are kriya, they're actions. You make nam aparad, you make seva aparad, you make vaishnava aparad. So now this, we've heard about the weakness of heart, that's a type of anartha. Then we heard about actions that we do, that's bad actions, four types of bad actions, aparad, seva aparad, that's on the level of action. One's on the level of heart, it's just us, it's our swabhava, it's our nature, it's our very heart. Hridaya durabalya. And that's harder to change. That level of anarthas, that's deep, what we call deep-seated anarthas. Subterranean or submarine. Submarine anarthas, they're deep, they're in the heart. And then, but the action, the ones on the physical level, we can have somewhat some exercise some self-control over that by becoming aware and trying to avoid. But the heart deep ones, the Hridaya Durabalya Anarthas, they're slow to go out. desire for recognition, envy, propensity to cheat. Now this third category is just thirst. Thirst for the temporary. So now this is on the mental level. This is desiring. Thinking, feeling, willing, desiring. Four types of temporary desires. To desire to enjoy pleasurable objects of this world or that world. Desire for heavenly enjoyment, swarga. Or desire for mystic powers, yoga siddhis, that's in this world. Or desire for liberation, brahma-sayujya. So that's desire to enjoy gross senses in this, gross sense objects here. Desire to master the elements here and be a siddhi, yogi. Or desire to go to heaven, or desire to go to Brahman. It's all different types of tickets, booking different tickets, travel tickets. And stay in this world and enjoy, go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. Stay in this world and enjoy by being a master of all yoga siddhis. Or go out, get out of this world and go to Brahman. Now the fourth type of anartha is all about ignorance. It's just ignorance. This is just being ignorant. Having four illusions about spiritual wisdom. Tattva vibram. The first one is swa tattva brahm. Swa means ourself. To be ignorant about the truth of one's own identity. Who am I? What am I? Where am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? So tattva brahm. And that's always a big area about the jiva, and because there's so many viewpoints, and it's quite a prakrit vastu. It's very difficult to understand. Second is paratattva brahm, ignorance about the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And third one is sadhya sadhana brahm, ignorance about the process of sadhana and sadhya. In other words, ignorance about how to practice devotional service, how to hear, how to chant, how to serve. And what is the goal of it all? Is the goal to have love for Nrisingadev and join Prahlad, Bhakta Prahlad on Nrisinga Loka, Nrisinga Bhagavan Ki Jai? Is the goal to become an eternal servant of Ramchandra and Dasya Rati in Ayodhya because we worship Ram? What is the goal? What is the prayojan? And the fourth thing is, or fourth illusion or anartha here under tattva vibram is virodhi vishaya brahm, ignorance about things that are unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Now this is in a level of sharanagati, anukulyena sankalpa pratikulya savarjanam rakshishya chiti vishwaso gopta tvevaranam tata. So there, it's being told in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami, and other places, that we have to accept those actions, those places, those people, those activities, those thinking, those books, those scriptures, all those things which are favorable to please Krishna and develop love for Krishna. That's anukulya. Anukulya in a sankalp. Sankalp means we make a firm resolution. Yes, I will do it. I will only associate with people that are helping me, remind me of Krishna. I only move in those places that are helping me remember Krishna. And I will only read books. And that's called anukulya, Krishna anukulya. Anukulya for what? Favorable for Krishna's happiness. Favorable, it'll make Krishna happy and will develop and make me happy by developing my attachment and my affection for Krishna. These are anukulya in a sankalpa. I make a sankalpa, a resolution in my mind to accept and embrace these positive people, places, actions, activities, thoughts, desires, and workings. And then I do it. And then the other one is pratikulyasya varjanam. Varjanam means to drop, to let go of, to reject. Pratikul, against my family. Pratikul, against my benefit. I will drop these things. So ignorance about things that are unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. So we have to learn about that. So these anarthas, they give birth to six enemies. So let's these anarthas, they give rise to lust, or kam, anger, krodh, greed, lobha, illusion, moha, pride, mada, envy, matsarya. These anarthas also beget six waves: distress, shoka, illusion, moha, hunger, shut, thirst, pipasa, old age, jara, and death, mrityu. The creeper of devotion can never grow as long as one cannot give up these anarthas. All anarthas, however, go far away by performance of Nam Sankirtan. So this entry comes from Bhajan Rahasyam. He doesn't delineate, actually, which ones result in which. But that we have to study ourselves, I suppose. Can't really give any commentary about that. So this is the conclusion of this class.